What's up, guys? Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital to pledge. Hey, DC comic fans. This week's featured product is DC Black Label's Harleen Number 1. Witness Harleen's first steps on a doomed quest that will give birth to the legendary supervillain, Harley Quinn. In this stunning reimagining of the Harley and the Joker's twisted, tragic love affair by visionary storyteller, I am going to fuck this guy's name up.
I said it yesterday.
Stjepan Sejic?
Sure.
Sure.
Laura knows him.
Yeah, of course she does.
Well, you should know, too. Queens.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that guy. All right, he's done Aquaman, Underworld, Suicide Squad, Sunstone, and apparently Rat Queens. So check out the podcast description of this episode for details and purchase through our links. Guys, please purchase through those links. Please, 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 please.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it today.
Superman.
I'm sorry to be raised.
You are here. The lesser of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
You have failed this city.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on RMD, the Arrow Edition on Rain Man Digital. Now, remember, guys, you can find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. Go there. Remember to subscribe, rate us, and also review the shows. It helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. This is no joke, guys. I know we say it every show, but we really do appreciate it. I am in the studio today with the one and only my hetero life mate, Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And today we will be covering Arrow Season 8, Episode 4, Present Tense. And I gotta say, this was actually a pretty decent episode.
Yeah.
I was actually, so far, throughout the entire episode, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, no.
I thought I was gonna hate it.
Yes, there's potential to hate a lot, but it definitely pulled it off. It pulled off something that we haven't seen in Flash in fucking seasons with time travel.
Yes.
But.
And I we'll talk about that more later, guys, like when we actually get into the brunt of the show. But like, I gotta say, when last episode, when we got with the time travel, and Bobby and I sat here and we couldn't figure out what fucking way we time traveled. And then I was like, oh God, this could be a recipe for disaster. And then the other thing I was really concerned with was just the fact of seeing, forward Flash guys, just future.
What are you struggling with? Right
I'm
there?
Trying to say future, and I fucked it up. Okay,
Young Justice came back to the yes. present.
So I was really concerned with their interactions with the team, and I thought I was going to absolutely hate it.
Yes, it had potential there to be a
just
definite shit fest,
and it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't, and I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay with that. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. So this one was directed by Kristen Wendell and written by Oscar Balderrama and Gene Wong. So the first thing, we'll jump right into it. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is the time travel. Now, Bobby, you brought an amazing point before we actually started the show. You told me that on Arrow, you were okay with this time travel, and we cover time travel regularly on Flash, and you typically hate it.
I honestly think it was just because the way it was handled. It wasn't a bunch of people being like, don't do anything and making up fake rules. It was like, fuck it. We don't know what is real and what isn't. So just do what you want. Like, we didn't have some random, like, I can't talk to my kids from the future because they might not be the way they are now because they've met me, and worrying about like me doing something different today that's going to affect my kids in the future, and like the whole world could blow up time bullshit that we've seen
multiple times
in the Flash.
And I think that they really did avoid that whole back to the future, holy shit, I can't talk to myself fucking mentality. And I think it helped this episode a lot.
Well, you look at like Wild Dog, Renee. And, you know, okay, this is the start of him going to be the Glades mayor. But right. taking information from the future and going, no, I'm going to do better. Like, yeah. I know it gets fucked up, but I'm not going to be one of those people.
I'm not going to let it define me. And I think that's really smart that they did that, because we've seen, especially in every Arrowverse show, when there's time travel involved, we've seen them change the future.
Yes, hence why there's JJ now instead of
exactly
Chick J.
And I Chick J.
I don't know.
It works. I think ultimately we've seen them change the future multiple times. So for them to have this route and this it makes sense. It makes sense for them to do it that way.
Yeah.
I thought it was very smart. You know, at the end of the day, like, you can believe in destiny and you can believe in all that bullshit if you want. But I feel like
believe in it, you can also believe in changing it.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. And I think they did such a great job this episode of making us give a shit about the future team too, as well, by putting them in a situation where they have to deal with original team.
Yeah. Not going to lie, at the very beginning, I was like, oh, great. Now we have original Team Arrow versus Team B, like 2 seasons ago.
Right.
It had that kind of feeling of like, let's not split these guys up and then have them do a bunch of stupid shit together and, you know, be upset. It was, you know, again, they did it a little bit different and no problems at all with this time travel.
Well, I think it just makes sense. I think we've been so indoctrined with the way that we've seen Back to the Future and all these time travel things.
Well, just 5 seasons or 6 seasons of Flash.
Yeah, and 6 seasons of Flash, and we've been so indoctrined that you can't do this and you can't do that and you can do this and you can do that. And for them to kind of, I don't think they broke it. I also think that what helps us too is that we know the Monitor is the one that did this. Right.
So you think there's some difference between time travel and the Speed Force?
I think cosmic being time travel, it has a completely different set of rules than Speed Force time travel. And I'm using that headcanon. I feel like they have to fucking explain it. They have to, right?
Or not. Do we really need 20 minutes of exposition and monologue of why this is good and why this works? Or it's just like, okay. Again, if you learned in the future, Ryan, you have heart disease 20 years from now, you'll do everything you can to change it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, yeah, I can do things to make that change. It's not life altering moments there of trying to figure out what to do or shit. Even there was moments to where I was like, are they going to freaking do I kill Hitler when it's a baby? JJ? Yes,
they even made that joke.
Yes.
And I think that was smart. It was so smart and well played humor.
Because we've talked about that all the time. You know, you go back in time and kill the people that are the worst.
Look, dude, we've had this conversation. I would go back and baby Hitler would be done. It would just be a thing. But I'm also not.
Half Jew. No?
I'm not.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
I
don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I think the best part about this.
Have you ever eaten gefilte fish?
I have never had gefilte fish. I think the best part about this was it was smart. And I think that is the biggest thing for me. It was smartly done.
Was it smartly done or was it just done dumb? And that's the best way to do it.
Actually a great way to put it, man. Fuck, I don't know.
Like, don't overthink.
You know what? You're probably right. I think it was an overthink thing. I think by doing it the simple and not really asking a bunch of questions, it makes it easier to digest. And it
leaves you for more room of other parts of the show.
And I think also, too, like, I feel like I'm not the only one that uses their own headcanon on specific aspects of the show. So leave it for the interpretation.
Well, it's always one of those things. Again, comparison to Flash, our main time travel show.
Right.
It would be like, we need to lock these fuckers up because we don't want them killing the butterfly that somehow makes the cure for, some disease that we don't know nothing about.
Ultimately, I think we can both agree that we were both on the fence about this, and we can ultimately say that this turned out really cool.
Yes, it's a viable you know, we buy what they did.
Yeah, we understand and we got it and it made sense. And the interactions that we got from it, which we'll talk about a little bit later, were really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, this is definitely not a direction I would have seen them going. Like, I didn't think this was coming. And yeah. I think that's what also makes it cool, is that we get to see those interactions. So, I don't know. DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share them with your friends and review the shows. With every share and review, you help our show climb the charts. And guys, you don't understand how important that is to us and how much it helps us. So wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. Guys, I know we say it every episode, but it fucking helps. So please, please do that for us. Now, we're going to jump more into those interactions. So we got some pretty fucking big family reunions here. We're going to start with Diggle. And this one was the most awkward one for me.
Right?
Because.
Yo, man, I just met you.
Dad. Who are you?
That's like every black man's fucking fear, isn't it?
Oh, my.
Some random kid coming up be like, yo, daddy, like, don't be a menace. Are you my daddy?
Oh, my God.
Yo, man, no. Honestly, that's what I was thinking of, was like, don't be a menace to society while drinking your juice in the hood.
God, I love that movie.
And, you know, what do you say to the nice man? Are you my daddy?
I it was so awkward because, like, I think, honestly, I'm going to be completely honest. I think if I had to rate the future team, I think it goes it goes Connor, William, Mia. Like, that's like who I care about the most.
Yeah.
And I really like Connor. I really, really like Connor. I think they did a really good job with this character. So for him to, like, you got to think he's seeing his dad, right? His adopted dad. Who
still,
him,
we don't know what happened to Diggle in the future.
We're not sure what happened. But to watch him look at, the acting was awesome, right?
Yes.
It was on point because when he first saw Diggle, it was like, oh, dad. Like, you could see it in his eyes, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like he truly saw his dad, even though it was like his adopted dad. It still felt genuine. And I think that's such a huge thing when you have a father-son kind of interaction in a show. This was so well done. And then, but it was so awkward to watch Diggle go,
yo, man. No.
No? Who are you?
Hey, definitely not JJ. Not light enough.
Yeah, you're definitely darker than the right other J. Oh, wait. I thought the interaction with them was so genuine. Even later in the episode when, you know, he finally gave him the father-son talk, you know?
Yeah.
It was so well done. It was so... I know we've seen Diggle have those conversations with Oliver before.
Mm-hmm.
But to have it with his adopted son and a character that we've kind of grown to kind of like, was really kind of heartfelt. And I thought it was so well done in just acting and the delivery of everything. And even the way it developed over the episode.
Yeah.
Like at first he was like, who? And then he started to kind of like, even he had that conversation with, was it Laurel? I think it was maybe Dinah. Like, what am I supposed to say to him? You know, what does he want me to say?
Yeah.
And I think it's a natural reaction. I felt like that reaction made sense.
Yes.
And we'll talk about some of the other reactions because I didn't feel they felt normal to me. But this one, for some reason, and I don't know if it's just because we have such a big boner for Diggle anyways,
mm-hmm.
and anything that goes on with Diggle we typically like. But this one just felt super genuine. And I think that's what made this one probably my favorite out of the episode. Maybe a close second is Oliver and William.
Okay.
But I think this one was really, really well done.
Yeah.
And I think this was our biggest question after last week's episode. How are these interactions going to play out? And this one played out kind of the way that I thought it would. A little awkward at first, but down home wholesome at the end.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the biggest one would be Oliver and Mia and William. So
William hasn't legitimately seen his father since they dropped him off at the grandparents.
Yes. And we had that question. Remember a couple episodes we were concerned, like, when was the last time he actually saw Oliver?
Yeah. Did Felicity never went and got him or anything?
They fucking cleared that up for us. And I got to say, dude, I got to say William's reaction to seeing Oliver was pretty fucking awesome.
Yes.
I know we were very hard on William as a kid. Like, we didn't like kind of the way he acted. And I think we kind of got an explanation on why with adult William. I think with adult William, we understand where he's coming from now and mm-hmm. where he was coming from then. And I got to say, dude, I typically am not a fan of them poking, you know, sexuality and stuff in the episode. But the way they did it in this one with him coming out to his dad and then his dad with Oliver saying, I know.
Yeah.
Was fucking awesome.
Yeah. No, there was nothing wrong with the scene. I just in my head canon.
Yeah.
Things I would say to my pops after not seeing them and I'm grown now. Like, my sexuality has nothing to do with whatever.
I agree, but I also think at the same time, he wanted to be upfront with his dad.
Uh-huh.
And I think by saying that and seeing his reaction, I think is very important because he never really got to have that kind of conversation with his dad, right? So being able to say that to him, I think was very important to his character as far as, you know, will my dad understand?
Yeah.
And I think it was, I actually really liked that scene. And I said, like I said, and you know me, I typically don't like them. They force sexuality or anything in the episode. I like that it's natural and it's done like when we saw Terrific the first time.
Well, yeah, or the police chief
on
Flash. Yeah.
Yeah. So for him to actually straight up say that, and for him to say that Felicity and me knew mm-hmm. was so cool, man. I thought it was really neat, and it was even funnier the way he delivered it, like the way Stephen Amell delivered it, like with the smile and like, we knew.
Yeah.
You know, like we knew the whole time. Like, I think it was very...
A lot of times when he's acting with these people are like, I feel like these are the last time he's going to be on screen with some of these people.
Right?
Because he has like the glassy-eyed look, like...
He looks like he's going to cry at any second. Yeah. I think that interaction was awesome. Just the way that William talked to him, like almost like admiring his dad in the fact that, yes, he hasn't seen him since he dropped him off, but he wasn't angry. He understood. And I think that was the biggest thing for me because at the time, William was pretty upset, like as a kid. But then I think this William is much more mature. Obviously, he's older, but I'm saying like mentally mature and to the point where he understands why he did it. And I like that. I think that's a very, very good character development. And I enjoyed his reunion with Oliver. Every scene they had, even him being the voice of reason,
yeah,
was awesome. Was so cool. It made me like the character more.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I was wondering if that was just me, but like future William, I wasn't really on board with until this episode.
Yeah, no, he's a lot. I hate to say this, but he's a lot like they try to make the kids end up like one or the other.
Yeah.
He's a lot like early Felicity was.
Yeah, I agree.
Before she became just like
bitchy Felicity.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he's much more like early Felicity and he's much more likable now that he had this interaction with his dad.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
But what about the other one?
The other one I hated. So I'm going to be completely honest with you, dude. Like it got better. But initially I text you. I said, I fucking hate her. And the reason is you haven't seen your fucking dad ever, ever. Let's talk about this. He left. And why did he leave? Bob, let me ask you a question. Why did Oliver leave in the first place?
To get new Tang. No?
He left Felicity and Mia to save the fucking universe.
Yeah.
You're going to be pissed off at your old man because he made the ultimate sacrifice to fucking save the universe for your bitch ass and your mom. And you're going to be pissed off and you've never even met him.
Yeah.
How can you even sit there and have that? Oh, that face. She looked so bitchy the whole fucking episode. You are meeting your dad for the first time. Now, obviously, William had met him before, right? William had grown up at least till age, 15, 14?
He was younger than that, but yeah. But
you get what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
So he had a chance to meet him, all right? So I'll give you an example, Bob. I never got to meet my grandfather. I grew up, my sister got to meet him. and I was only 2 years old when my grandfather passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard stories on stories on stories about my grandfather, and I feel like I know him because of those stories. If he showed up right now, and I was able to meet him, and I'd be 34 tomorrow. If I were able to meet him at 34 years old, I the last thing I'm going to do is be angry that he passed away.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting to meet this person that I've heard nothing but stories about for the first time. And I'm going to be a total bitch to him because he made the decision as a superhero to save the universe. I am sorry, but that is fucking bullshit. I was so upset with the way she reacted about meeting her father. I can understand her being bitter and a little upset, but the way she was fucking downright horrible. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I felt like the whole fucking thing was her just being a total bitch.
Yeah, no, it was. And this was the attitude. And no matter how many times you say, like, oh, she's your daughter, it doesn't come off the same as when Oliver was dark and brooding.
Yeah, I know they're trying to make that connection that she's like Oliver in his early stages from coming back from Leon U, but he wasn't a total dick face. He was at some points of like when he was in the hood, but when he was Oliver, he wasn't a cock. And I don't understand her whole, I'm going to be a total bitch for no reason. I'm meeting my dad for the first fucking time. I don't care if he left. Okay, let's use an analogy. What's her XS? She met her dad for the first time. Was she bitter and upset?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
She was fucking psyched.
Yeah. Like fanboying out.
Yeah. Oh my God, my dad, the Flash. Oh my God, my dad, the Green Arrow. No. I hate you, Dad. You left. You saved the universe because you're a superhero. It didn't seem right. It didn't seem like the right ear action. I can understand her being a little upset, but the way that she came off was horrible and it was wrong. And I felt like it was, it took away from how awesome William and him, his reaction was to seeing his dad again. It almost took away from that moment.
Yeah.
And it bummed me out.
Well, it was just even William's reaction to Mia's reaction.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Like, really? Okay. So weird.
Yeah, like cool story.
So I don't know, man. I hated it. I hated that part. I think William made up for it. And I will say this. She came around in the end, like stubborn fucking Oliver always used to, right? But still, I felt like it just started off so shitty that it was so hard to backpedal. And it bummed me out. No joke. I actually, the other reaction that I was really scared about was when they told the truth about Zoe.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of dreading that. I knew they were going to have to tell him, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I was not upset with Renee's reaction. It felt normal.
Well, and it was also probably one of the more mature things we've seen. I get angry at first. I look at Pickle like it's his fault because that's your demon seed.
Yep.
And then I figure out it's not Diggle's fault and maybe we can change this.
Well, I loved his reaction when they were all around the table and he's like, hey, you know, Diggle, we're good. And then he looked right at Connor. He said, Connor, we're good. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
He goes, I can't be mad at you for something that hasn't happened yet. And I think that might be the most mature thing that we've ever heard Renee say ever in this show. Baby, like hands down might be the most mature thing.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree.
And I think that whole reaction was well done. He got really upset. He got mad at Diggle and Diggle even felt bad. He's like, my son's a murderer. How do you think I feel? Like, this is my son, you know, and then even Diggle's reaction to Connor not telling him.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to ground his ass.
You're grounded, mister. Why am I grounded, Dad?
You kill
because
a guy.
You kill someone in 2049. Wait, what? Dad?
I am not letting you out of here.
I just, I thought this was a really, this whole triangle was actually really well done. Renee's.
They gave everybody the proper amount of time to hash out what they know from the future. You know, it wasn't like, I didn't feel like they spent any insane amount of time with one
No, like dwelling family. On it. Yeah, it wasn't a whole dwelling thing.
And it was just like, and then to have them come together and then, you know, take out the Deathstrokes to stop a major event that affects the future right off the bat. And, and no, again, 10-minute monologue, 8-minute monologue of why we shouldn't do this because who knows what else we could fuck up. It was, no, let's stop this. Maybe this is the start.
Yeah, I think it was really, really well done. I
And then Oliver fighting off Mia from making the ultimate dumb decision.
Well, I mean, and we've seen Oliver make that dumb decision.
Yeah, he knows. He knows the guilt of killing people.
Yeah, he knows the guilt. He lives with it every single day. And I think this Oliver we've seen this season so far is completely different. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Like, this is the Oliver that we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that we're getting it and we only have like 6 episodes left.
Yeah.
It's the Oliver that is the Green Arrow. Like, this is the Green Arrow. I know they haven't really called him that and they haven't really used that, but I feel like this is the Oliver that we should have gotten maybe like 3 seasons ago. And
it might still be a show.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mr. Terrific's return.
Missed him.
I did. Dude, I forgot how much I missed him.
Good sense of humor.
He like, brought good levity.
Yes.
Yeah, good levity. And it felt like his jokes were well-timed. And, you know, oh, I love this part. You know, like when they were getting ready to suit up and everything. And I thought that was – it was smart. It was smart to bring him back. And I like Curtis.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think he's one of those characters that's so easily likable and so easily, like, you can just insert him into any situation and it makes sense. Like, he doesn't have to be, like, fully in. You could just be like, oh, Mr. Terrific's back. Oh, fuck, okay. Like, there's no, like, oh, no. And then the scene with him and William.
Yeah.
How good was that?
No, dude? Yeah. Having them interact and, you know, what did he say?
Smoke and
how come I can't forget?
What's his last name?
I don't know. I drew a blank, too. I'm literally like, just Curtis blank. And Terrific. Okay, so... Don't know. Anyway, but yeah, you know, those just little throwbacks and the way he looked at him, like, oh, this feels like old time.
Holt.
Yes.
Holt, yeah.
This feels like old times, you know, type scenarios and, you know.
It was cool, man. Yeah. I dug it. I thought they gave him a really good role in this episode to come in and kind of be a part of, you know, what was going on.
Yeah.
Now, the other big thing that we see at the end of the episode, we see the monitor talking to Laurel. Or Black Siren, and he tells her that he can basically bring back Earth too, but she has to betray Oliver. Now, I am very concerned about this, and the reason being is I feel like the monitor is playing.
100% at this point.
At this point, and I think...
Why bring the kids to the past?
Yep.
Why do everything he's doing?
Now, here's the thing that I don't understand, because we obviously know there's the monitor and there's the anti-monitor. Mm-hmm. Is it because he's going to have to change, right? Or is it two separate entities?
It's two separate entities.
Okay, that's what I thought. So why the fuck is he playing Oliver? Like,
maybe these are all just tests.
Like, tests to test his metal? To, like, see if he's like...
Just the people that are supposed to go in to save our world.
Do you think she does it?
Well, yeah, because they gave her a spinoff.
Damn.
So
she, you gotta say shit like that. I hope she doesn't. I thought she's. I feel like she's changed, right?
Oh no, you mean
betray? Is she gonna betray Oliver?
No, not at all. I think
she even said she hated him in like the episode before, or was it this episode or this episode?
Yeah, I think don't it's see it happening.
I think it's bullshit. I don't think she hates him at all. But I am kind of concerned about it. Like, does she make that call? Does she actually do it?
No.
I don't think she does either. I'm on the same page. Man, I hope she doesn't. That would be weird.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially with all the redeeming they've been doing with her the last couple, like even the late last season and then.
Did you notice they've gotten this formula this week of like the cliffhanger endings this season?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't care. I mean, it's a good thing.
I'm not hating it. I'm just... I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Is it because we're in the final season? We only got 6 episodes left?
I mean, it's a good formula. Follow it. I'm not complaining. I mean,
it makes me psyched for the next episode.
Yes, exactly. You're waiting to the very end. You're not in a quick, like, shut off moment.
Well, you don't. Yeah. You don't want to, you know.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's done. What's next?
Yeah, I think the formula, I like it. I think it actually gives you...
Oh, and they've been good ones. It hasn't been like...
It's like shitty cliffhangers.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, who cares?
I agree.
Like, oh, man. Eh.
All right, okay.
It's like, oh, shit, the kids came back. Oh, where did Oliver leap to this time?
Yeah. I actually dig it. I think, you know, I think we've talked about this before. It creates that kind of need and that want for the next episode. And, you know, as long as they're done correctly, they could do it all fucking season. I mean, we only got 6 episodes left.
But yep.
I'd be okay with it. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into our final thoughts, and then we'll give our grade for this episode. But first, a quick break. Hey, DC comic fans. This week's featured product is DC Black Label's Harleen Number 1. Witness Harleen's first steps on a doomed quest that will give birth to the legendary supervillain, Harley Quinn. In this stunning reimagining of the Harley and the Joker's twisted, tragic love affair by visionary storyteller... I am going to fuck this guy's name up.
I said it yesterday.
Stjepan Sejic?
Sure.
Laura
knows him.
Yeah, of course she does.
Well, you should know, too. Queens.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that guy. All right. He's done Aquaman, Underworld, Suicide Squad, Sunstone, and apparently Rat Queens. So check out the podcast description of this episode for details and purchase through our links. Guys, please purchase through those links. Please, 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 please.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
On to our next story. Lighten things up a little bit here with the Sun reporting.
Fuck you.
What is this talking you do? Like, what is this weird...
Are you a Scottish midget? Like...
What is this? Do you try, Andrew?
No, Faith and Begora were reporting this morning.
Does he, Thomas? You know how, like, when you get to a certain level of fame, let's say Madonna, Lady Gaga, you start speaking in an accent that nobody can pinpoint.
That pretentious, I think I need to be better.
Yeah. Is that what Andrew tries to do?
No, it's not.
I'm not talking
well,
to you.
Too bad.
I, you know, Mike, I'd like to give him that. I think it's full-blown idiocy.
It is.
Okay, so you don't think he's trying to be like...
I don't think he's ever been
intellectual.
I don't think Andrew's ever been successful in something he's trying to do. So with that in mind, you know, I don't think it's intentional.
You see, what had happened was...
Maher?
I had...
Bill Maher? Mayor?
I got into the Sun reports. I cited the source, and then I looked at the headline.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, fuck off!
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank exclusive.
That's operation,
Dave. You know, we wonder why we don't make any like must listen to Star Wars podcast like list. You know, because I take it very personal when people tweet me, "Hey, check out my new favorite podcast list of Star Wars shows," and From the Batta Tank is nowhere to be found. I'm like, do you think we're just too dirty? They're like, oh my god, potty mouths!
They're talking about having sex with Rey and Twi'leks and Dr. Aphra. I can't believe it.
whatever. Don't pretend you didn't watch that Star Wars porn parody.
Don't lie to us. Don't lie to us. You have a dark side, too.
Yeah, every hot-blooded male out there has definitely looked up that VR porn.
Not just hot-blooded male, hot-blooded female.
Yeah, that's true, Dave. Or whatever else. For all the thems out there, right? For all those thems.
Thems. Yeah.
Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Bacta Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
What's up, guys? Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital to pledge.
Aw, people say he's just a pretty face.
All right, guys, so we're going to jump into our final thoughts of the episode. You mind if I go first?
You can do whatever you want. It's your show, bud.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know, but I appreciate your output. Or input?
What?
Both.
Wieners.
Both, whatever. I told Bob, I thought this was a really, really good episode. Especially, I think they're ramping things up, and I think that if the episodes kind of keep going this route, we're going to get a good ramp up until, obviously, the end of the season and the series. I really enjoyed the interactions that we got with particular characters, because I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I never thought that we would even see grown-up William, Mia, and Connor interact with the old team and with their parents. Never. I never thought that was going to happen unless there was some kind of weird, you know, Oliver shows up in the future somehow. So I actually really, really enjoyed these interactions. They felt genuine, except for Mia. She can fucking die. And I felt like this is what we needed. I am on the same page with Bob. I was really concerned with the time travel and how it actually worked, but for some fucking reason this worked. And I know we harp on time travel and Flash so much, it's not even funny, but for some reason this actually worked and it made fucking sense. I felt like the pacing of the episode was really well. I didn't want to even pick my phone up once throughout the entire episode. I was so kind of into it. I felt like I was going to miss an interaction if I was playing on my phone, and I didn't want to do that. And I think we also, too, like as comic book fans, I feel like these interactions are things that we kind of long for. You know, and I think we got that with this episode. Some of the fight scenes were really, really good. I still have a hard time watching Mia kick people's ass. I know she's trained and she was trained by Nyssa, but for some reason, just watching not even 100 pounds, she's got to be like 96 pounds, jumping around and kicking 220 pound men and like making them crumble still is a little weird to me. So I don't know. As far as the monitor and this whole story, I'm digging it, man. I'm digging it. I'm liking the cliffhanger endings. I think it's keeping me on my toes. I think it's making me more excited for the next episode. And I think we need that. Mm-hmm. It's the final series.
Yep.
It's final season. You've got to get us excited. And I think so far they've done a really good job. I'm going to give this episode an 85. I think we've really made a huge jump since last episode. I think it's a legitimate 85. Which puts us in the hell yeah. I thought it was an awesome episode.
Yep. I agree. I'm going to shoot for an 80 here. I think the interactions with Mia kind of spoiled some of the points there for me. But again, the weird thing is like, I didn't care about like the death strokes.
Didn't give a shit.
And it was just like, okay, cool. It was just like a background thing for them to do together.
Yeah.
It was actually interpersonal interactions that made the episode.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, again, it was well written, well acted, mature decisions being made, you mm-hmm. know, and again, simplifying time travel and not making a big deal about it was the key for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. So we gave this an 80 and 85. Fucking good episode, dude. That's what we need. We got 6 episodes left. Like, we need fucking good episodes. And I think this was the right track. So hope to God we keep going this way. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Arrow Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Also, follow us on our social medias, guys. And with that, I actually don't think we are on next week, are we not?
We got a couple weeks.
Couple weeks off, guys. We'll be back. And we'll get into the next episode. With that, guys, we'll see you.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour. Now it's less.
What's up, guys? Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital to pledge.